Our scripture this morning from the Message Bible reads, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the Friend comes, the Spirit of the truth, He will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to Himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed out of all that I have done and said. He will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said He takes from me and delivers to you. We're continuing this week in a series of healing. We've talked about healing of the body and healing of relationships. Today, we'll talk about the healing of courage. The Holy Spirit compels us to be courageous in the face of a daunting world. The question is, how are we to do that? There are so many examples of courage among us to take from, to learn from, and yet it becomes a struggle for us to embrace them ourselves and to take them on ourselves. Courage starts with the youngest. Courage starts right at infancy. And those of us who are parents know and understand that courage, that spirit that our children have followed from time to time, that leap off of the sofa onto the living room floor, fully expecting I'm going to land successfully without injury, that first jump into a swimming pool, maybe not knowing how to swim, but somehow trusting that through strength and courage and through determination, they're going to get through it. The cramming of material to take an exam or a test, and somehow finding and summoning that spirit and that courage to complete the exam and walk away, having felt that you've done everything that you could to succeed in that test. The site Bible Talk with Jeff Archer talks about 5 ways to help encourage the spirit of courage within children. The first is to give them love. I've seen this firsthand in so many families. Those families that have a tight bond of love, that have a care and a compassion for each other, somehow are also more courageous. Those children feel comfortable in taking chances and risks because they know the love of their family is behind them and supports them. The second is to give them heroes. And heroes come in many forms, and oftentimes we miss the most heroic of people among us. We owe it to our youth to see them and share with them those heroes that we see around us. And heroic behavior does not have to be the over-the-top heroic behavior of someone wearing a cape, but can simply be the giving of a meal to someone in need, the comforting of a friend who suffered a loss, the taking of a risk to open our arms to embrace someone in need. The third is to be courageous ourselves, and we'll get in a few minutes to some of the ways that we need to look at courage ourselves in our adult lives, but the more we set the example of being courageous, the more that our children will continue to embrace and keep that spirit. The fourth is to share our experiences. And it's okay to talk about failures, because through failure comes our strength. And finally, to give encouragement. However hard our youth try, however hard our youth endeavor to do the things that they do, we need to support them in those efforts and to give them the backing that they need to feel to continue to make those decisions as they go forward. We have biblical reference for this, the entire chapter of Daniel 3, where we hear about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You got a king that's telling you to bow down before some golden idol, and those without courage immediately fall to their knees. And yet, 3 youth who have strength and faith in God find the courage to say no. This isn't the right thing to do. This isn't the right way to live. And they put themselves at risk thrown into a fiery furnace, and yet saved because their courage was rooted in faith. Strong faith, powerful faith, courageous faith. It is a tremendous example that not only youth, but adults as well can follow. So, as I do often when I look around for examples and try to find examples in our world, I turn to that source of all information that could ever be captured, the Huffington Post. If you go to the Huffington Post, you'll find they have an entire section on courage. And among them, among the articles in that section, was one by Adam Gilad titled, Five Ways to Step into Your Courage Zone. Those five ways are pretty powerful reminders. The first is to embrace our imperfections. None of us are perfect. We all have flaws. And yet the fear of revealing that weakness becomes the challenge to being courageous. We keep so much in. We keep it bottled up inside us. We try to hide it from the world. And that takes so much energy and so much effort that it prevents us from seeing how we can be courageous. In order to embrace those imperfections, the second step is to practice self-honesty. We try to mask from ourselves our own imperfections. We try to cover them up, and we try to think that they don't exist. They're still there. They're facts of life. And we need to own them and understand them if we're ever to get through them and past them. Third is to find a partner. It's important in this life to have someone, somewhere, that we can talk to openly, honestly. That person who's not the yes person in our lives, who will tell us every day we look beautiful when we know absolutely we don't. That will tell us that we've made so many great decisions when they know full well we didn't. That will tell us that there's always someone else to blame when in fact the outcome really was the result of our own choices and decisions. We need that partner in life who's going to be honest with us in a comforting and loving and supportive way. Someone that will turn to us and say, you really did mess up here. I love you just the same. And let's work together to find our way out of it. The fourth way is to ask the question, how might I grow from this? When we experience those imperfections in life, when we make those decisions that result in something that was not even close to what we intended it to be, what do we take from that? How do we learn from that? How do we grow so that as we move forward in our lives, we become better and stronger people, more courageous people? And finally, the fifth way is to befriend risk takers. Find those people who are courageous people, the people that exemplify those traits that we would want to have, and learn from them. In less than a month, my mother, in her 70s, for reasons beyond my understanding, will jump out of a perfectly good airplane. Hopefully with a parachute that works. Because that risk is on her bucket list. It's one of those things that she wants to do before she leaves this earth. I could not find a better example of a risk taker, of a courageous person, of someone who is willing to do those things in life that help her to live life and not just exist in life. The more of those examples we can find in the people around us, the better we are. Galatians chapter 2 reiterates some of this, saying, have some of you noticed that we are not yet perfect? No great surprise, right? And are you ready to make the accusation that since people like me who go through Christ in order to get things right with God aren't perfectly virtuous? Christ must therefore be an accessory to sin? The accusation is frivolous. If I was trying to be good, I would be rebuilding the same old barn that I tore down. I would be acting as a charlatan. None of us are perfect from the core. It's what we do with those imperfections that builds the courage we need to find. I continued on to find a story by Julieta Garibay titled A Parent's Courage. And in this story, Julieta reflects the following. Jocelyn, a 23-year-old woman who had been deported, shared that she had never felt more humiliated than while under U.S. immigration custody, meaning that even after enduring a brutal journey on top of trains, under threat from drug cartels, and still being dehumanized, even after finally crossing the border into America, she was placed in the horrendous Hilaris, or the ICE detention centers that are so frigid that they're nicknamed the freezer, for 5 days. Fed only twice a day and given water that tasted like Clorox. During the flight to El Salvador, they were shackled until 10 minutes before landing, but she continued repeating that she was just seeking a better life by fleeing poverty and violence. Deep down, she knew that she could not have been treated like this. But she was. And through it all, she still told me, they couldn't break me down. I'm still human. If someone who has been through that type of trauma in their lives can find their humanity within them and the courage that humanity brings, how can we not? Acts 26 says, Paul, still in chains, said, that's what I'm praying for, whether now or later, and not only you, but everyone listening today, to become like me, except, of course, for this prison jewelry. So who do we listen to in order to regain our courage? Proverbs 29 says, a sage trying to work things out with a fool only gets scorn and sarcasm for his trouble. We can find simple answers in a not-so-simple book. A book of stories, a book of wisdom, a book of fundamental truth that all of us can learn from. We can find a simple truth toward courage in the 46th Psalm. God is a safe place to hide, ready to help when we need him. We stand fearless at the cliff edge of doom, courageous in sea storm and earthquake. Before the rush and roar of oceans, the tremors that shift mountains, Jacob wrestling God fights for us. God of angel armies protects us. And brothers and sisters, that is what sustains us all. That is where our courage comes from. Our courage comes from God. If God is with us, who can be against us? Embrace it and hold it forever.